Welcome to Webcams TV. I'm your host, Brady Gester, and today we're going to be talking to Howard Durkin. He is a PM on the WebStack team, and he is going to introduce us to all the great optimization features that you're going to have in Visual Studio 2012. He's going to kind of walk through some of those things today, and that I'm going to kind of turn it over to him and just say, what is optimization? What do you mean?
Right, so optimization can mean a whole lot of stuff.
Search engines, right?
Right, yeah, totally. No, when we talk about optimization, we're really going to be focusing on two things at this point. And you'll hear me talk about bundling, and you'll hear me talk about minification, right? So there's two big ideas wrapped up in all of that. Bundling is really about having your browser make fewer HTTP requests as it loads pages. Minification, on the other hand, is for each request that you do have to make, we want it to be as small as possible. So when we talk about optimization, we're really the thing we're focusing on right now are these two key concepts of bundling and minification.
So fewer requests, make them all smaller.
Fewer requests, make them smaller. Cool. That's right. A couple things. One is how do you get this? And I'll just, you know, usually that's at the end, but I think it's probably worth pointing out just right here at the beginning. With Visual Studio 2012, it will actually be a part of the default templates for, you know, all of the web application projects. So you can see on the screen here, I've created a new MVC project, and what you'll see, it's probably not from this screen because that's not too obvious, but bundling and minification are already included. If you take a look, the best way to see that is to actually take a look at NuGet package management. And what you can see here, we'll go to installed packages. And did I skip it? Did I miss it? Where is it?
Got two more pages.
Ah, that's the thing. We have so many NuGet packages that we now have multiple pages of them.
Componentized development.
That's right. That's right. So Microsoft ASP.NET Web Optimization Framework. So it's already installed just with any of the new web application projects. And actually looking at it this way brings up the second piece, which we're also very excited about, and that is that we deliver this thing via NuGet. So like all other NuGet packages, this gives us the ability to fix bugs, make new enhancements, you know, all kinds of changes, and you can do a NuGet update even for something that you installed as a part of your default project template, and you can get updated to the latest version.
Right.
So I've created this MVC application. It's already got optimization built in. And so really what I want to show first is just, okay, that's great. What does that actually mean? What does that do? So what I'm going to point out here is this compilation debug equal true, right? This is pretty standard web ASP.NET stuff. And we'll come back to what it actually means. But I'm going to just point it out here, file that in your brain for a second. We'll come back to it. So let's just go ahead and do a Control F5. This is the standard default template for MVC. And I've also turned on the F12 tools because we're gonna want to take a look at those. Now, if we go over to the network tab, I'm gonna start capturing, and then I'm gonna do a Control F5 so that we reload the whole thing again. And what you notice here is that we have a whole bunch of CSS files. I'll expand this out so that we can see them. And these are all the jQuery UI, you know, CSS files. And there's a lot of them. If you look at the bottom here, you can see that we're loading 23 total items, and we're receiving, you know, 347K roughly, right? So, fair number of requests for a starting point,
for one
right?
Page. Right?
Yeah, for one template, right. Template page. So what we're going to do, well, and backing up here, I do want to say though that having your CSS split out into these different modules, these different sort of functional units, is a good, I mean, it's a best practice in terms of how you do CSS and JavaScript design. Mm-hmm. So what we're trying to do with bundling is kind of give you the best of all worlds, right? We want to let you develop it, develop your web apps in a way that makes maintainable code, but at the same time get the benefits of bundling when you're running.
Nice.
Right. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to go ahead and close this for a second. And we're going to pull that file back out of your brain. We're going to change this to false. We're going to change the debug attribute to false. And we're going to go ahead and launch again. Now, setting this debug attribute to false, putting it in a release state, if you will, this is going to turn on bundling and minification by default. That's right, by default.
Awesome.
So let's go ahead and fire that up.
So that's by default. out of the box now.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
fantastic.
Totally.
Awesome.
And we, you know, I don't know if you remember from some discussions with customers, is that was a pretty highly demanded feature. And we'll talk a little bit more about what that means from a, you know, kind of looking under the hood a little bit in just a second. But the big idea, let's go back to network. We'll start capturing again. And so look, it even all fits without scrolling now. So we've cut our request roughly in half, as well as the number of bytes that we've received. And there's a couple things I want to point out looking at this view. The first is just, you can see that now we're referencing these bundles, right? And what we want to do, so, you know, all of our CSS bundle, our themes CSS, right? So this is all of our jQuery UI stuff. And then if we go and we take a look at that, you can see not only, I know, look at all this beautiful gibberish.
Right.
You can see that, you know, not only have we, you know, lumped all of our CSS into this, all of our jQuery UI CSS into this one HTTP payload, but you can see also all of the white space is gone, all of, you know, everything is much more compact.
That was
then. So that's the, that's the minification piece of it.
Right.
And I'll talk a little bit more just in terms of some of the, well, you know what, I'll talk about it now. So one of the really cool things that we have with our CSS minifier is that now we have the capability with our with CSS to do something called semantic CSS compression, or semantic analysis and compression, which if you look at how most minifiers work, they do sort of these pretty high-level things, right? They reduce or they eliminate white space and that sort of thing. We actually have two minification engines just based on how standards compliant your CSS is. But in our newer CSS minifier, we actually parse the CSS and we can look to find selectors, for example, that have the same rule sets, and we can actually do collapsing. So depending on how your CSS is structured, we can actually go pretty far beyond how we used to, sort of that rudimental CSS minification.
Nice.
But anyway, you can see we've got CSS minification. And the other thing I want to point out is that we've also got this version stamp on here, right? So there's a lot of different ways to manage sort of cache control and lifetime and all of those things. What we've adopted here is we have this version stamp that's tacked onto the end, which gives us the ability to set cache expiration to forever.
Right.
Because what this guy is, this is actually a hash of the contents. So you don't have the problem in like web farms where if your hash is based on a date that different machines are configured differently and now your cache is a giant mess.
Right.
This is actually based on the contents. So when the contents change, the hash changes and your page needs to get, you know, the new resource.
Nice.
So it's not like we're versioning a resource. When stuff changes, we create a new resource from an HTTP perspective.
Fantastic. So it's like just cleans the cache out. It's a new file.
It's a new file.
Nice.
Yeah, it's a completely new file from a browser standpoint. So that's sort of the key components of bundling and minification as far as just what it does.
Right.
Right.
Wonder how that works.
So, you know, so we talked about this this compilation flag. Now, this is sort of the default convention that we have, but what I'll talk about here is, so there's two sort of components of the mechanics, right? There is, how do you configure these bundles, and how do you reference them? So one of the things that we had done in early builds of this is we actually had the default bundles, or the template bundles, pulled into the optimization assembly.
Okay.
And what we learned as we released into beta, and as we got all sorts of issues filed against us, we very quickly learned that we did not want to be in the business of trying to maintain or own what all of the different files and file sets and all that should be in a default bundle. So what we've done, if you look in App Start, you know, when you do just a new project, you'll see this file called bundle config. And bundle config, as you would expect, is where you configure bundles. And so what we've got, actually, let's just scroll down a little bit and let's take a look at that jQuery UI bundle. So what we've got here is we've got bundles, right, which was passed into our register function, and that's simply an instance of this bundle collection class, all right? So we're going to create a new style bundle. Now, one of the other new things that we've got in this library, if you've been following from earlier incarnations of it, mm-hmm. is that we now have more strongly typed classes for Style Bundle and Scripts Bundle.
Okay.
Right? It used to just be Bundle.
Right, and you just one. Yeah.
And you were kind of on your own for giving that meaning.
Nice.
Right. So we now have Style Bundle and Scripts Bundle, and this first parameter is simply what's the virtual path that you want to expose this thing under.
Right.
Right? So we're going to say that when I reference this bundle, I want to access it with this URL. Right? And then it's all about including the contents that are going to be a part of that bundle. You can see we've cleaned up the syntax a little bit so mm-hmm. that rather than having to create an instance of the object and hold it in a variable and right. then call a bunch more methods on it, you can just chain all these things together. You can also see here that we're being pretty explicit about what goes into the bundle. And that was also based on, as we released this into the wild, and we just some of the lessons that we learned was it makes for a good demo when you just say, yeah, everything in this folder is just going to be a part of the bundle.
It's not very realistic.
It's not very realistic, right? Because what happens is, even if you get it right for that first, incarnation of your project, inevitably somebody's going to come along and they're going to install a NuGet package that drops some new file into that folder, and now all of a sudden it interacts with something weird in the bundle and everything blows up and, the sky is falling. So we wanted to be really explicit about what is our stuff that's going into these, to the bundles that we maintain so that we can avoid collisions and all that.
So can I do something there in this one
that's
all the slider tabs, all the jQuery mobile? Can I give that a custom name like content themes, jQuery mobile?
Totally, yeah.
And that's the URL that'll be spit out?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so you change this changes, the resource identifier to put it in.
Okay, perfect terms.
Yeah. And you have complete control over that. We still give you the capabilities to basically say find all files with this extension in this directory or add directory in its entirety. Mm-hmm. We just don't do that by default for our template bundles.
Gotcha.
And you can see actually if you're looking below what we're showing, you can see I'm doing that. That's not a part of the default templates. That's something I'm going to show in a second.
Nice.
So
okay.
Pay no attention to the code below.
Okay.
But yeah, so that's how bundles are configured, is in this bundle config file that sits in this sits in your app start folder. Now referencing, let's go ahead and take a look at, we'll just look at the layout CSHTML templates.
I like having that not in global ASAX. It's nice to have it split out.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. So to render, and render is render the link or script tag, mm-hmm. right? You have two options. And the options are really based on what kind of level of control you want. So you can see I'm using the styles and scripts.render. These are just helper methods that sit on those typed classes.
Right.
And the reason you would want to use those is to work with the debug and release support. So I mentioned that earlier, and I'll tell you a little bit more about what that means. By calling into these methods, these render methods, and you can see I can actually pass not just one, I can pass a set of bundles that I want to render.
Nice.
Right? So I want my jQuery UI stuff, and then I want just my base CSS in this case.
Right.
And the reason you call these things is for debug and release, when you're in debug mode, what this call will do is it will actually explode out all of the contents of the bundle into individual script or link tags.
Okay.
Right? So if I have 8 CSS files that make up content themes based CSS, then when I'm in debug mode, if I've rendered it through this helper method, I will get 8 link tags, right? Whereas when I'm in release or when debug is set to false, then it will only generate a single link tag for the URL of the bundle.
Cool. So debug true, you get a list of all the files that you've bundled rather than the bundle.
Yeah, you get that many link tags or script tags.
And then after you go to release, it just
It only generates the one. Cool. It generates the one tag for the entire bundle.
That's good stuff. Mm-hmm. I like that. It's an easy tweak.
It is. Now, you give up something to do that, right? Because when you call this method, you're giving up control over your actual markup.
Okay.
Right? So if you want to write out your link tag and write out your script tag, if you really want to have that level of control, then you use, and you can see what I've done down here, I have this other helper method called URL. This gives me control over the markup, and then it enables me to admit or to resolve the correct URL for the bundle itself.
Gotcha.
Now, just like you traded off one for the other in the other with the render helper, In this case, you get control over the markup, but you don't get debug release support. Because you've already written out what that markup is going
to
be.
It's more explicit on what you want to have generated.
Yeah.
Got it.
So there's always a trade-off to be made. I think we think in general the syntax around link and script tags is not there's not enough room for variance to where we think there's a ton of reason to not use the render helpers.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we certainly wanted to make sure that it was there in case you needed it.
Excellent. Excellent.
Okay.
That's fantastic.
Let's see. So that's referencing, and we talked about configuring. Yeah, I think that's covers the core mechanics.
Okay, cool. Next, I guess we would probably want to talk about some more advanced.
I can show you the code that you were not to look at a second ago.
Let's take a peek at that.
Yeah. So, you know, one thing that I've gotten asked quite a bit about is, well, that's great that you are compressing my CSS,
right.
That's cool, but I want to use less, right? Less
right.
CSS,
right.
Really handy way to have some more power with CSS.
Mm-hmm.
How can I use that with bundling? Do I have to rewrite the whole thing like end to end, or can I chain in a less processor with some other things? And the answer is yes.
Right. Right.
So if we go back over to bundle config.
Because less actually has like a compilation step, right? Like on the server.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we'd have to do something tweaky with that.
Yeah, so it's got its own little parser, and
nice.
It you know, basically you have less dialect, or you know, your less file,
okay.
And then that takes to CSS, and then can we? So yeah, so the workflow is we take a less file, and actually let's just look at that. So this is just straight off of the lesscss.org homepage.
Right.
So we're going to take a less file. We're going to take that. We're going to generate CSS. We're then going to take that CSS, and we're going to minify it.
Cool.
Right. So that's the steps there. So we're going to take this file, and in our bundle config, you can see that we are creating a new less bundle. Move this over here. And we're going to expose it under this URL.
Okay.
And what we're going to do now is, with bundle, we can actually chain together multiple of these transforms. And they're called bundle transforms, and appropriately so, because you create right. them by implementing iBundle transform.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to say, first, we're going to start out with a new instance of a less CSS transform, which I've created below. And then after you run that one, then run CSS minify, which is our standard out-of-the-box minification for
gotcha.
CSS. And then you can see I'm doing include directory. So I'm going to search under this less CSS path, and I want all files with a CSS, or I'm sorry, a less extension.
Gotcha.
So you can see I've only got one file in there,
mm-hmm.
And that's what's going to be included in the bundle. And then we just add it to the bundle table, you know, just like normal.
Nice.
So taking a look at the transform, you know, we implement this interface. It has a single method, right?
Mm-hmm.
So nothing too complex. And I've implemented, or I'm implementing the less processing by a NuGet package, a library called .less.
.less.
So, .less, yeah, okay. That's right. So I'm just going to add the NuGet package, just nothing fancy
no
there.
No big deal, right?
No big deal.
Right.
And there's a static parse method on it. It'll take the contents of my bundle, right? So at this point, bundling has already taken everything that it needed to find,
mm-hmm.
right? And it exposes it as a string. So mm-hmm. response dot content, right? That's basically if I had one file, if I had five files, it would be the sum,
right?
Right? And then I'm going to pass that to the less parser, and I'm going to just set the content back.
Cool.
Right.
Cool.
So pretty straightforward. And then the only gotcha here is that because you're off in less land, we don't try and make any assumptions about what that means.
Mm-hmm.
So you still need to set the content type.
Gotcha.
Right. So you can see I'm setting that here. Nothing too huge.
Undead.
Yep. Nothing too huge there. And so we'll go ahead and we'll run this. And what we can see, we'll go back to the network. We'll do a refresh here. And where is our less bundle? Here we go. So here's our less bundle. You can see we've got the version stamp on there, all happy. And when we take a look at the response body, you can see I don't have less syntax anymore. I have straight up CSS syntax, and all of the white space has been stripped out. And
that's fantastic.
It's been minified, right? So I was able to very easily implement that whole chain. And you can make those chains, you know, as complex as
right.
you want
right.
to, right?
Right, exactly. That's fantastic. A moment ago, you said something about people can customize the process kind of like you did with Less. Let's say you're really picky and you want to have every CSS selector on its own line rather than just remove all the white space. You want to go line per. Could you do something as control-y as that? Could you get down to brass tacks?
Sure. I mean, at the end of the day, it's just a transform.
Right. It's just a transform.
Right. So if you want to implement that, I mean, you're going to have to certainly do more than the two lines of the transform that I wrote.
There were some regular expressions involved and whatnot.
I think so. Exactly. Maybe antler.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I was just curious because I've had contracts in the past that look into situations like that. We want it laid out in this way.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Well, and I mean, what we've found is that typically people get really specific about text layouts because they need something that is easy to debug.
Right.
Right. Whereas because we now support both debug and release modes, you can get much, you know, more expansive, you know, sort of text layouts when you're in debug mode, but still just be really aggressive when you're in that release mode.
Right.
So we think that scenario is going to be more solved by having debug release, but certainly you can get as you can do as much work as you would like to.
Exactly. So what was that? What were the final numbers on that? We started at 347.
Yeah, so let's take a look. We'll go back to the summary view. And we got down to 143K and 12 requests.
Wow.
So cut it in half, roughly.
Yeah, cut it in half. That's wonderful.
Yeah, and
so if you had that on every page, I mean, you're talking really improving the performance of your sites.
We had an internal team that applied the framework just because I did a brown bag on it, right, for the team. And they said, oh, well, that looks interesting. Let's just, you know, slam it into our application and see what happens. And they were looking at it in YSLOW. And I think just literally by adding the NuGet package and configuring the default bundles, they went from a YSLOW score of 82 up to 95.
Wow.
I mean, it was a big difference. And
nice.
Certainly your mileage may vary based on how you've structured your project,
but
I mean, it can have some pretty immediate improvements.
Nice. Have you found that accepting the default bundle rules has that level of impact on it, or have you found that going in and tweaking it, you get a little bit better performance? I guess
this was just with the default. Yeah,
really.
But at the end of the day, like I said, I mean, it depends on what you've got in your project.
Gotcha. And these NuGets, are they installed? Like, if I were to do file new project in MVC or whatever the project may be.
Sure.
By the way, is it just MVC projects?
No,
or are they across the
every web application project.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So the one ASP.NET thing kind of rings true here.
We're moving in that direction.
That's a good thing. So any ASP.NET project has support for this. It's good stuff. Any further plans that you can tell us about?
Yeah, I mean, I can absolutely give you kind of paint the vision of what we want from this. So
nice.
So there's a couple things that we're talking about. One is to do a much to really keep pushing the bar on what we're doing with minification. So we're working with the performance team in MSN, actually, is who wrote the minification engine that we use. In fact, it's the same people that wrote Ajax Min do Ajax Min on CodePlex, right?
Awesome.
That's actually a bunch of guys in the performance team over at MSN. And this is the stuff that we're using to do like semantic CSS compression. This is all of their stuff that's coming, right?
Nice. Okay.
And so we're really getting in on the ground floor of that, and we hope that we can make some significant strides and help by putting it into our product, be able to feed you know, customer feedback and all that back to them, and just really start moving faster on iterating with improving that product.
Awesome.
Right.
Awesome.
The other thing is, the runtime. You know, all this stuff that we've done is runtime, right?
Right.
We've been asked for, and we want to anyway support doing build time. Right. So the scenario is, well, that's great, but what if I want to generate static files at build time and push them up on my CDN and be done with it, right?
Right.
And so that's definitely a scenario we want to do. The product that does all of our minification actually has an executable that can do build time bundling and minification right now.
Awesome.
But we want to much more tightly integrate with that. We want to create MS build tasks. We want to create the end-to-end experience around that.
Right.
And then we just want to kind of see where we can keep pushing the bar.
Nice.
You know, can we make optimization as a service? And what would that look like, right? I mean, there's so much, especially with the cloud, there's so much new sort of thinking that we can do around this space that goes beyond just okay, well, I give you a bunch of inputs, and now I give you a smaller output.
Right, like, yeah.
That's honestly, I mean, if it was just that, yeah, that's kind of a boring scenario, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
it's been around for a while.
Exactly.
So we really want to see, like, especially with the cloud, like, where can we keep pushing this,
right,
to really start driving some innovation in this area?
Awesome. Awesome. One question that I have, and it might have changed a little bit since I was working in it, but there's some way that you could specify, pull this from my local drive or pull this from a CDN.
Right.
Is that still out there, and does this work with that? Like, if I were to throw you a bunch of files that are stored in a CDN, will it compress all those as well?
So we have, okay, so a couple parts to that.
Right.
We have CDN support in bundling.
Right.
However, it's you can specify at this point in time, you can specify an alternate path for the bundle,
right,
for the bundle, not the contents of it.
Okay,
that is the CDN path.
Okay, okay.
Right. Because you really can't say here's the CDN versions of all the contents of the bundle.
Right.
Right. Because then, and then expect the bundle itself to come from CDN.
Right. Because it's gonna have to.
How would it get there? Right.
Yeah,
yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
So. But, you know, when we talk about what does optimization as a service look like,
there you go.
These kinds of things, you know, it's the wheels start turning,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But yeah, so we do support CDN as an alternate path at the bundle level.
Okay.
That's where we're at today.
Nice, nice.
Hope to be past it in the future.
Nice. I'm kind of wondering with the blob storage CDN capabilities. I'm wondering,
right,
if we could work together and come up with a way,
yeah,
to pull files in from blob storage. I mean, we can give you a list of the files in a blob. You could pull those down, bundle them up,
yeah,
and have a static file.
We should get together. Mads and I are cooking up a little
nice,
a little pet project. So nice. Yeah, you should sync up with us.
I'd love to. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah, when is Mads not cooking up a secret?
Sort of
what he does.
That's a good point. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. He sits on his hammock and.
Yeah, he invited me into his mad scientist lab to work on this. So yeah,
that's fun. That's
pretty
good. I think his mad scientist lab is a hammock. You know that, right?
Yeah, I'm sitting next to his mad scientist.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. in an armchair.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's right. Yeah.
He has a. We've been joking with Mads. If you've been following our Twitter chaos, he has a lot of places that he has to go and speak. So we're trying to get him to take his hammock to each individual place that he goes to speak and have a picture of him in his hammock.
It's like the Flat Stanley project that.
Exactly like the Flat Stanley Project.
That's
it's
right.
Exactly the same thing. But it's the Flat
Stanley. If you don't know what the Flat Stanley Project is, yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Look it up.
Yeah.
Wikipedia.
If you have kids, you probably do know.
Yes.
So, yeah. Well, this is great. I mean, this is really going to improve my site's performance because I know that I don't know how to customize all this stuff, and it's going to make my life a lot easier. Is there anything else you want to show us before we say goodbye?
I think that covers the basics. Certainly, you know, for you and then for everybody, like, let us know. You know, give it a shot. Let us know how it improves the performance. We'd love to get that feedback.
Yeah.
We'd love to know areas where we can keep improving it.
Okay. Do you have a specific user voice site?
We don't. I mean, aside from the ASP, ASP.NET.
Perfect.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Of course
yeah.
we do. What am
yeah.
I talking about? Yeah. ASP.NET user voice.
One of the larger ones.
And then, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to crawl under the table now. sorry, boss. And then, of course, if you want to contact me even directly, my alias is Howard.
Okay, so, Howard.
Yeah, Howard at Microsoft.
That's good. That's pretty good. That's easy to remember.
It's pretty straight. I stopped carrying business cards because...
Just Howard.
It's just,
remember Howard.
Just Howard.
Yeah, awesome. Speaking of all the cloud stuff, I actually have one thing I want to throw out there, a quick little meme.
Let me
try something. And we'll go ahead and leave the network minder up. I'm just kind of curious as to what this might look like.
Oh, we'll see if it's optimized.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll do that. What I'm trying to go to is devcamps.ms. We'll just see. And I'll do it right
controller
here. Five. Actually, I'll do it right here. See how many we have.
Oh, look at all of those requests.
So we need to optimize this
yes.
as well. We could totally do that. There are a lot of requests. 504?
There are a lot of requests. 504K.
Yeah.
44 requests.
We'll have to get on that.
Yeah.
Okay. What I wanted to show you here is that we have a series of dev camps coming up, starting in, this is the one that I'm involved with, or the one that I'm beginning to be involved with, in Buenos Aires, São Paulo, Brazil, Sydney, Australia, Phoenix, Arizona. I'll be in Phoenix. Toronto, Paris, Chennai, India, everywhere. Auckland, New Zealand. So basically, you have no excuse. We're coming to a town near you by train or seaplane. You could totally get and you could learn about some of the great Azure features that we've got in store and some of the new tricks. And then also, I want to point out that if you are anywhere near Silicon Valley, next week we're going to be doing a webcam in Silicon Valley. Go ahead and show you what that looks like. And you can sign up right here. And we're doing one in Phoenix as well. But this is the one that I was referring to. In Silicon Valley, in the Mountain View office, we'll be doing a webcam next Tuesday. Not Monday, because it's a holiday. That's when I'll be flying to Mountain View. But after that, we'll be doing it on Tuesday. It's an all-day event. You can learn about all different kinds of good stuff. Show you what the agenda looks like. We'll be talking about integrating your site with IE9, a lot of different IE9 features, and then obviously we're going to talk about IE10 as well, have some new tricks of the trade, going deep into Web Matrix and showing you some of the features we can do there. Obviously, no webcam's going to be complete without a discussion on HTML5 experiences, and I usually do a couple of SignalR demos during that one. And then we'll be diving into Howard's world, getting deep into the ASP.NET stack, talking about the ASP.NET 4.5 framework, Web API, and then deploying graphs.
My former world.
Excuse me.
No, Web API.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Right. Howard used to work on Web API. So we've had a lot of talks about that. I've asked him a lot of annoying questions over the years. So
These days, I'm just a REST dogmatic.
That's good. You should get in some of those fights with Glenn and Rob on Twitter.
Oh. Yeah. Well, we save it for off Twitter.
Nice. That's good. A little less profane.
Yeah.
So it'll be good. But I really appreciate you coming by today.
Yeah, thanks, man.
We're really going to be able to optimize our sites here. We found one that we could probably aim this at and optimize it a little bit. So I might have some work to do later this afternoon just to see if I can give some suggestions.
Happy to contribute to your workload.
Exactly. Not that I needed that.
Right, yeah.
But we really appreciate you coming out today. Thank you for sharing your time with us.
Yeah, thanks.
And I hope you guys got something out of this. Thanks a lot. See you next time.